Chapter 47. Having never intentionally crash-landed before, Sam had a plan that was a combination of gut instinct and a fair grasp of physics. Traveling at 30 knots, roughly 34 miles per hour, the Icarus had enough kinetic energy to throw everyone inside violently forward against their seatbelts, but not enough to throw the seaplane into a nose-over-tail tumble. The impact was also enough to rip the passenger seat and the seat behind it free of the mounts that Sam had pre-loosened before leaving the airstrip. Rivera's man in the passenger seat, already unbelted, was driven headfirst into the windshield, snapping his neck and killing him. Rivera, still belted in, flew forward and slammed into the back of the passenger seat, while Sam, clutching the sleeping bag in front of his face and chest, smashed into the dashboard. In the back seat, Remy's impact was cushioned by two sleeping bags. She was the first to regain consciousness after the impact. She released her belt and heaved herself forward between the seats. She grabbed Sam by the shoulders and eased him backward. Water was gushing into the cabin through the hole left in the windshield by Rivera's man. Already nose down in the water, the Icarus began tipping forward under the weight of its engine, lifting the tail from the water.
"Sam!"
Remy shouted.
"Sam!"
His eyes snapped open. He blinked a few times, looked around. "Did it work?" he asked.
"We're both alive. I'd call that a success."
"What about Rivera?" Remy looked at Rivera, who lay slumped forward, bent at the waist.
"Unconscious or dead, I don't know and I don't care. We need to think about leaving, Sam."
"How about right now?"
"Great."
Sam braced his feet against the dashboard, fighting gravity, then punched the button to release his seatbelt. He tried his door. It didn't budge. He tried again.
"My door's jammed. Try Rivera's door. He's blocking it."
Sam pressed with his legs and arched his back, sliding his upper body into the back seat.
"Get his belt."
Remy hit the release. Rivera slid forward into Sam's outstretched hands. He let gravity do the rest, and Rivera tumbled headfirst onto the remains of the passenger seat and his dead friend. Remy crawled across the seat and grabbed the door handle.
"Are you ready?"
"Whenever you are."
"Deep breath."
She muscled the door open. A column of water surged into the cabin. They let the cabin fill up. Then Remy shoved off and swam out. Sam was halfway out the door when he stopped and turned back. He kicked into the front seat and started probing the floorboard with his hands. Under the dead man's left boot, Sam found what he was looking for, the semi-automatic pistol the man had been holding. He tucked it into his belt. He made his way back out and kicked for the surface. He broke into the air beside Remy. 10 feet to their right, the plane's tail was jutting straight out of the water.
"It's not going down," Remy said.
"Probably a pocket of air in the tail. I'm going back down to see what I can salvage. My plan didn't include that part. I'll meet you on the beach." Sam took in a lungful of air, flipped over, and dove. His outstretched hand found the leading edge of the wing, and he pulled himself across the fuselage, then down into the doorway. He stopped. Rivera was gone. Sam looked into the tail section, saw nothing, and checked the front seat again. He saw movement out of the corner of his right eye and turned his head. A shadow rushed toward his face. He felt something hard strike his forehead. Pain flashed behind his eyes, and everything went dark.
"Sam,"
he heard distantly. The voice faded, then returned.
"Sam!"
He felt hands on his face. He knew that touch. Remy. He forced his eyes open. She was leaning over him, her auburn hair dripping onto his face. She smiled.
"How many fingers am I holding up?"
"Very funny. None. I'm okay. Help me sit up."
"Just stay there. You've got a nasty gash on your forehead."
"Rivera. Where is—" "I'm here, Mr. Fargo." Sam tilted his head backward. An upside-down Rivera was sitting 10 feet up the black sand beach.
"Damn."
Sam muttered. I'll give you this much, Rivera. You're one tough bastard. Sam forced himself up onto his elbows, then sat upright with Remy's help. He turned around. Rivera was in tough shape. His nose was broken, one of his eyes swollen shut, and his lower lip was split. The gun in his right hand was held in a rock-steady grip, however. Rivera said, "And you're too clever for your own good. As soon as you're feeling better, I'm going to kill you and your wife." "I may have tried to kill you, but I didn't lie about this place. I could still be wrong, but I don't think so."
"Fine. I'll kill you both, then find the entrance myself. The island isn't that big."
"It doesn't look big now, but once you get into that jungle, it'll suddenly get a lot bigger. It would take you months to find it."
"And how long for you?"
Sam checked his watch. 8 hours from the time we get into the caldera.
"Why that number?"
"Just a guess."
"Are you stalling for time?"
"That's part of it. Also, we want to find Chikamoztok as much as you do. Maybe more. We've just got a different motive than you do."
"I'll give you 4 hours.
Rivera stood up. Remy helped Sam to his feet. He leaned on her as though dizzy. "Headache," he said loudly, then whispered in Remy's ear,
"I had a gun."
She smiled.
"You did. I have it now."
"Waistband?"
"Yes."
"If you get a chance, shoot him."
"Gladly."
"I'll try to distract him." Having toughened themselves over the past few weeks, first on Madagascar, then on Pulau Lagundi, Sam and Remy found the hike up the island's forested slope relatively easy. Rivera, however, was struggling. His broken nose forced him to breathe through his mouth, and he was now limping. Still, his years as a soldier were shining through. He kept pace with them, keeping 10 feet between them and his gun. At last, they reached the top. Below them, the caldera's slopes dropped 100 feet to the valley floor. The bowl shape, having acted as a rain funnel for centuries, had caused the trees and vegetation to grow faster than their cousins on the exterior.
"What now?" asked Rivera.
Sam turned around in a circle, orienting himself. "My compass was in the plane, so I have to estimate this." Sam walked to the right, picking his way through the trees for another 50 feet, then stopped. "It should be right about here."
"Here?"
"Below us."
"Explain."
"Right after which you shoot us. No, thank you." Rivera's mouth tightened in a thin line. His eyes never leaving Sam's, Rivera shifted his gun slightly right and pulled the trigger. The bullet punched through Remy's left leg. She screamed and collapsed. Rivera shifted the gun back onto Sam, stopping him in mid-step.
"Let me help her," Sam said.
Rivera glanced at Remy. His eyes narrowed. He limped over to where she was lying, crouched down, and picked up the pistol that had fallen from Remy's waistband. Rivera stepped back.
"You can help her now."
Sam rushed to her side. She gripped his hand hard, her eyes squeezed shut against the pain. Sam patted his pockets, came up with a bandana, and pressed it against the wound. Rivera said,
"Do I have your full attention now?"
"Yes, damn it."
"The bullet hit her in the quadriceps muscle. She won't bleed to death, and providing she doesn't stay out here more than a couple days, there's not much chance of infection. Between these two guns, I've got 30 more rounds. Start cooperating, or I'll keep shooting."